If you knew that you had just a little less than 24 hours to live, how would you spend that time that you had remaining here on this earth? My guess is you probably would not go out grocery shopping or rake leaves in your front yard or wash and polish your car. None of that mundane, trivial stuff. Instead, you would probably try to spend that time with the people who are most important to you. And whatever it is that you would choose to do would probably be what is most important and most significant for you, that you would want to share with the people that you love most. And I think it would stand to reason that if that's what we would do, that's what Christ did when he knew that his time on earth had come to less than 24 hours. And what did Jesus do? Well, he spent it with the people who were most important to him, his disciples. And what did he do with them? Well, let's look at what the Bible tells us. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open it with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And in Luke 22, Luke has recorded for us that final night that Jesus had with his disciples. And they had gathered together to observe Passover. And it was during this Passover observance that Jesus instituted the service that we today call communion or the Lord's Supper. This is what he chose to do with his disciples. And I'd like to point out to you how Luke records this, beginning with verse 14. Luke 22, starting with verse 14. And when the hour came, he sat at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 15, Jesus says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Earnestly desired. If you have the King James Version actually translates what's written in the Greek literally, where it says, with desire I have desired. In other words, I really want to do this. It was an idiom, a way for the Greeks as well as the Hebrews to say, this is something that I really, really want to do. So this was so important to Jesus that he told his disciples, this is something that is really, really important. I really want to do this. And then he instituted the Lord's Supper as a way of demonstrating to his disciples that he himself had come to fulfill what the Passover had been pointing to for centuries. And how did he begin this supper? Well, John records for us in his gospel, chapter 13, that Jesus began by washing his disciples' feet. He did this as an example to us that we need to be humble and willing to serve one another. So one of the first things that Jesus did for his disciples in this supper is to let them know how important it was to him that they treat each other with love, that they be humble and be willing to serve one another. In other words, be nice to each other. Be kind to each other. Minister to each other. Care for each other. And then when he was done doing that, he took the bread and the cup. The bread, symbolic of his body that would be broken for them, and the cup representing the blood that he would spill on our behalf. And he told them to eat the bread and to drink the cup. And he said, by doing this, we would remember his death on our behalf. His death that would provide us forgiveness for our sins and reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. And through that reconciliation, receive the gift of eternal life. And he wanted us to do this as a way of reminding ourselves how important it is to keep Jesus at the center of our lives. That whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup, It's our way of, again, receiving Jesus and letting him know that we are choosing him, receiving his salvation, accepting his gift, and wanting to make him at the very core and the very center of our lives. Two very simple things, but two very significant, important values that Jesus wanted to impart to his followers just before he died. It's almost as if Jesus was saying, this is my dying wish for you. Number one, that you just be nice to each other. How many of you would like to have a revival in our church? I don't think anyone would say, no, no revival, except one person, Satan. Satan does not want this church or any church to experience a revival. And I'm grateful for the people who choose to join us Wednesday evenings. And we have just started going through that little compilation, True Revival, in the hope and anticipation that God will respond to our prayers and pour out his Spirit in a special way so that we can experience revival and reformation. But this last Wednesday evening, we read the counsel that let us know the devil's most successful method in preventing a revival from happening. And that is by creating division within the church. As long as there is division, there cannot be revival. And so the devil is pleased when we cannot get along with each other. The Lord knows that we will never, ever agree completely on everything. And that's okay. All he asks is that we just be nice about it. If we can just be nice, the Holy Spirit can be poured out on us, and incredible things can happen. But it's hard to be nice, isn't it? Especially when you know you're right. But what Jesus is saying, if you will just turn your focus away from those people around you and look at me. If our focus is on Jesus, then all of a sudden, all of the things that are wrong with these other people just sort of disappear. And all of a sudden, we begin to see what's wrong with me. And that's what God is more concerned about. Taking care of what's wrong with me. He can take care of all of those other people. He'll do a much better job than you or I. And that's why Jesus says, you eat that bread and you drink that cup. Just as a way of reminding us how we need to keep our focus on him. And as long as we do that, it'll be a lot easier to be nice to each other. All of a sudden, those other people are not quite so irritating. Because we can see Jesus, and he's working in us, and he will take care of them. This morning's communion is meant to remind us that this is what is most important to Jesus. This is what he left with us just before he died. And it's distressing to pastors that the one Sabbath in the quarter that they know attendance will be the lowest is on communion Sabbath. And it's a tragedy that something that is so important to Jesus, we take so lightly and think, not a big deal, I can skip. Jesus is saying there's something special that he wants to leave with us. And I'm thankful for everybody here that we can receive this and celebrate this together and experience the Holy Spirit's presence and power, because that's what Jesus has promised us. The Seventh-day Adventist Church practices what we refer to as an open communion. You do not need to be an official baptized member of our church to participate with us, as long as you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We welcome you to participate with us. At this time, we will separate to wash one another's feet as Jesus has told us to do. There are rooms set up along the Sabbath School wing for the men and women to serve each other. The Better Living Center behind me is prepared for any married couples who would like to serve each other.